This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Chris Miles here with you on Overtime. Welcome back. As you know, the Washington Capitals have been a ray of sunshine in the nation's capital for more than a decade now. I have their run starting in 2007-2008 season. Rob Carlin hosts the Washington Capitals pre- and post-game shows. The Caps off this week as they get ready for All-Star festivities. Rob, break it down for me, man. How great do you think this run has been for the Caps the last 12, 13 years? Because they're continuing it right now.
I think that, thankfully the Cup validated all of it.
Yep.
Because all those years of, you know, playoff failures and premature exits makes you, not really appreciate what we're witnessing. And there's, there's probably 25 other fan bases that would kill for sustained winning and borderline dominance for this long. It doesn't happen. And the hope is that, in Nick Backstrom's next 5 years or Ovi's 4 or 5 years, whatever they have together, that they get at least one more. And then you're talking about legendary status. But yeah, it's hard to appreciate when you're a fan in it and there's some letdowns along the way, that this type of thing with these type of players too just doesn't come around that often. And I often say we have to remember to appreciate, because even now, they've basically been in first place all season long. Earlier this season, just kind of steamrolling through teams. And there were always people picking at something. The defense wasn't great. Holtby's not what he used to be. There's always someone picking at something. I was like, man, what if this was just the middle of the pack franchise? What if, what if this was the Minnesota Wild or, just a franchise that gets by? Like, sometimes you have to just appreciate what you're seeing, and what we've seen for more than a decade and a half now is remarkable.
So when I look at Alex Ovechkin and I start to think, man, this guy, maybe he's getting long in the tooth. Maybe he's going to fall off at some point. Seriously. And then I'm like, oh, 34 goals, in 49 games and still second in the league behind these young guys. You always look at it. Oh, Connor McDavid's supposed to be the new hot thing, right? He's supposed to be the great player. 7 less goals than a great 8. So I have to try to figure out how long can he play at this level? We hear that with Tom Brady. We hear that with a guy like Drew Brees and then finally, or LeBron James, and finally you see it. Like, you start to see they're not what they used to be. Where's Alex Ovechkin in that pantheon of, oh, he is exactly what he used to be? Or do you see some sort of slippage in his game?
What's Brady, 40?
42, going to be 43.
Right. So I don't think that Ovi could do it that long because the wear and tear of, the body, but he's nowhere near slowing down. Like, what he did this week is insane. 3 straight multi-goal games, 8 goals in 3 games, passing Mario Lemieux, tying Steve Yzerman for 9th all time. He's going to hit 700 goals and, maybe by the end of the month. I mean, he is I always say, if you're going to doubt Ovi, that's a you problem. Nothing has ever slowed him down other than when Dale Hunter tried to make him a plumber and stop playing him as much. But if that dude's on the ice, and the funny thing is now the power play isn't even humming. So the thing that followed him for most of his career, that, well, he's just a power play guy, he just has the greatest shot in the history of the power play, and that people held that against him. That's not even what he relies on now. He's scoring goals in different ways. And someone actually just reached out to me, someone I know, and said, well, how many empty net goals does Ovi have? And I was like, oh boy, here we go. And then, you know, I looked it up quickly, and I think he's third all time. And Gretzky's one. I think, I can't remember who's two, but Ovi's three. And the guy wrote back, they should count for half a goal. And he's from St. Louis, this guy. And he's like, Brett Hull, the year he scored 86, had zero empty net goals. The year Gretzky had 92, had like eight empty net goals. And I wrote back, I was like, well, that's because his coach didn't trust him out on the ice at the end of the game. So he did, you know, subtract 8 or 10 goals because he was a one-way player. You know, like, Ovi scored the hat trick the other day against the Islanders at the end of the game with the empty net. You know why? Because his game is better now than it was, more complete now than it was 10 years ago. He wouldn't have been on the ice in those situations as much. So, you know, his game continues to – the goal scoring is not slowing down. The all-around game is getting better. And then I saw the story that Mike Vogel wrote, who works for the Caps, that after that win, Ovi gave the Nats batting helmet to the player of the game to Braden Holtby and said, if you didn't make the saves you made early, we don't come back and win that game. And Holtby's been bad recently. But Ovi's the captain, and you realize, I got to keep my guy in this. He's going through something he's never been through. So the goal scoring is just as good. The all-around game is better, and the being a captain part of it is better than it's ever been. So I don't know why anyone should think he's going to slow down. And when you start doing the math and you start looking at that run at Gretzky's all-time goals record, it's doable now, man. It is really doable. And if he starts making that run 5 years from now, 4 or 5 years from now, that's going to be the biggest story in sports because this is supposed to be an unbreakable record. So it's going to be fun, man. You asked me about the last 12 or 13 years, whatever it was. It ain't over yet. Like, there's plenty more really great stuff still to come.
So here's the crazy thing. I'm looking at his stats right now. 11 of his 34 goals this season are power play goals. And the only year in which you look at it like, oh, he's not at 50 goals in the past, I don't know, 7, 8 seasons was 2016, 2017. Other than that, it's, I mean, 51, 53, 50, 49, 51. And he's projected to get over 50 this year. So it just seems like the machine will not slow down. Okay, so look, man, it's just been a jam-packed show. So I got to get to the next subject because I could talk to you about this for about another hour. So maybe another time we'll continue on the great eight discussion. Maybe if he scores 700 in, I don't know, another week from when they start playing again next week. So the Caps run since 2007, 2008. I came into today thinking, is this the greatest in D.C. sports history? The greatest run by any one singular team? What we're seeing the Caps do right now. Now, I'm saying that as if it ended today, because we just established we think it's going to go on for at least 4 or 5 more years. I think we both agree on that, right?
Mm-hmm.
If it ended today, would it be the greatest run from any of the major pro sports team here in D.C.?
No, because the Redskins have multiple Super Bowls. So if the Caps, and look, I honestly believe, and nothing could ever be proven of this, but I honestly believe that 2 or 3 times that they lost to the Penguins along the way, they probably would have won it. They got beat by the other best team and the other greatest player of the generation. But I truly believe that they would have won more than one had it not been for, but that's the facts. So if the Caps had won 2, then I would start to say, all right, is 3 Super Bowls comparable to 2 Stanley Cups? But the Redskins won 3, you know, and it was in a relatively short amount of time. So nothing's ever going to be like that, you know. And then you factor in the whole just football's place in the world compared to hockey and the Redskins' place in D.C. compared to the Caps. The cool thing for me, obviously I'm closely tied to the Caps, but I was on the Redskins beat, you know, when Robert was here. So I understand the phenomenon of what the Redskins is. But it's very cool for me and for all the people I'm associated with that moment of 2018, that, you know, it was the Caps, because they've always sort of had a fight for their spot in DC sports landscape. And the fact that they were the first franchise to give that feeling and give that moment back to DC, I think is awesome, because now they're forever a part of the story. But for the greatest run, it's the Skins. It's three Super Bowl titles. You just can't. That's hard to top.
What's crazy is, so I have the list in front of me. I'm going to run it by you real quick. You ready? So the Nats are definitely, you know, in last place on this list. It depends on what they do the next couple of years, but five playoffs in 8 years, one title, but zero advances in the playoffs beyond that. So, like, the Nats are, you know, at the bottom of this list. The Redskins, you mentioned, if you try to count all four Super Bowl victories, you go back to 72, so it makes it 20 years. But if you go from 1982 to 1992, that's what you're doing there. You have three Super Bowls, four appearances in the Super Bowl, and another trip to the NFC Championship in which you lost. And I mean, in all of sports, in all the professional sports, I think going to the AFC-NFC Championship games hold the most weight as far as, you know, right before you get to the final. I just feel like that's how people view it.
When were you coming up? Like, my age group, growing up in New York, and I wasn't a Giants fan, but it just felt like every year was going to be Redskins and Giants playing for something. Like, it was going to be one of those
teams. That was
that
time.
Right. So, like, I remember those teams just being like, God, the Redskins are so good every year. They're there. Yeah. So, that run was crazy.
Eight playoffs in 11 years.
The way they
years.
Did it, too, with the different quarterbacks and the whole thing, that's a crazy – that like, something like that might not be – Brady and Belichick did it together. The fact that they did it with different quarterbacks is nuts.
Yeah, eight playoffs in 11 years, three Super Bowls, four appearances in the Super Bowl. So that's, I guess, five trips to the NFC Championship game. So that's every other year they were playing in the NFC Championship game is
going
to break that down. Now, here's one that you're sleeping on, though. The Bullets. From 1968 to 1985, which is a bit of a longer window, which I think is going to be closest to compare to the Caps whenever this run is over. 15 playoff appearances in 18 years, four trips to the finals, one single championship. So if the Caps win another one or go to – they'd have to go to three Stanley Cup finals in the OV era in the next 5 years to make that exactly comparable. So I think a lot of times, because, you know, those teams are before your time and my time and we're not exactly spring chickens anymore, that I think sometimes people overlook – what the Bullets did back then. But whenever we look in the history books, like, oh, Bradley Beal catching Wes Unseld on the all-time scoring list.
Right. Yeah. No, I honestly didn't – now that you're saying it, I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess they did play in that many NBA finals. But, yeah, that's a great run. That's a great – and that's the problem with how do I say this the right way? That's the problem with sort of – not being relevant enough for so long. Like, the Redskins are in danger of this now. Like, when you're not relevant nationally, forget what they are locally, but nationally not relevant for such a long period of time, like, the shine comes off so much of that. So, like, you know, like, I'm up in New York now, I get the bye week, so I came up to visit family. If I told my nephews who are in their 20s about the Redskins run, forget the Bullets, like, that's before our time. Like, they'd be like, really? You know, like, the Redskins? So that's the problem. Like, the Bullets, so what you're telling me is what I just said, how great this run is by the Caps, doesn't even relate to what the Bullets did.
Exactly. Like, they're trying to catch that legacy, even though I think the point to that you're making is the Bullets didn't have someone that is revered as the Great Eight.
Right.
They had a bunch of really good players, and I mean, Phil Chenier, one of those guys where you recognize them as doing great things, but do you go, oh, they had the Dr. J of that era.
Right.
They had the Larry Bird of that era. They had
right.
They did it. So it's easily overlooked. And to be honest, if I didn't dig in the crates in NBA history, I mean, I wouldn't have seen that. And I wouldn't have made that as part of this discussion. So,
Which is almost crazier that they did it without that sort of transcendent superstar. Like, usually, for a sustained run of that long, there's usually at least one guy. You know, Magic and the Lakers, like you said, Dr. J, Bird, Jordan, someone sort of has to carry, especially in basketball. It's usually one guy, or, you know, maybe it's Magic and Worthy and Bird and Parrish or whatever. But that's crazy that they did it without – I mean, they had some pretty good players. Let's not fool ourselves. But without sort of that transcendent
– They didn't have Wilt, Lou Alcindor, also known as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Like, those are the guys we remember in that particular time frame. I mean, it's Dr. J, Wilt Chamberlain, Kareem, like, switching over. You know, like, that's who people think of. So for them to have big men, no less, winning championships, competing for championships. I mean, even the Knicks, that was the time period in which the Knicks won championships, and you remember that. And Willis Reed and all of these other guys that seemed to be the story. And also the NBA wasn't nearly as popular. So,
that NBA was pretty Magic and Bird. So
exactly.
Those games were happening somewhere off on tape delay somewhere that no one saw.
That's exactly what happened. And then 1985, we know who arrived that season. Michael Jordan, 84-85, his rookie year, took over, and that's essentially when the Bullets kind of faded. So it's interesting to see that historically, but when we talk about the greatest runs in D.C. sports history, I think that needs to be recognized a little bit more.
Yeah, you sold me.
Look at that.
Nice job by you.
And I tell you what, it took me forever to try to sell you on Markelle Fultz, but eventually you're going to come around, man.
Don't make – whoa. You're selling half a story now. I mean
– You go ahead and say it. You could tell people because I'm going to stick by it. Go ahead. Say it.
Right. So, look, the kid's a good player. He came out of DeMatha, you know, number one pick. But, like, when you first said his floor was Tracy McGrady, we were like, whoa. Let the kid – you said this before he was drafted.
Yeah, I said it. No, so I said it when I saw him in high school, which is very early. This is before college. I said, man, this kid's special. I think that at worst, he's going to be a guy that averages 25 in the league. I think similarly like Tracy McGrady style. Like, I think the worst thing that's going to happen to him is he's going to lead the league in scoring and average about 25, 26 a game, not win a chip. But I think that's the floor. And I still believe that, by the way, even though people think I'm crazy.
I hope the kid has a great career. It's almost flipping to where it's a really good story. Like, if this kid can rediscover and become something in the league, what's he averaging now?
So that's the thing that you have to pay close attention to.
Okay.
And these advanced stats are helping him tremendously because he leads the Magic in player efficiency rating, defensive rating.
You didn't tell me he was going to lead the league in player efficiency.
He had the shoulder thing that I'm not going to get into, but what I'm saying is he is one of their leading scorers on a team that's competitive, that's in the playoff picture in the Eastern Conference.
What's the points per game? I'm going to sound like an old guy.
It's at 12, but here's the thing.
Okay.
Here's the thing. Tracy, people forget this. Tracy McGrady did not get that scoring average up until he was 22. So my man Markel's got some time to work with.
How old is he now?
21.
21, okay.
All right. Anyway, I'm being told I got to go. But you know what? Next time I have you on, we're going to go Rob Carlin, pre- and post-game host for the Caps. But we're talking my man Fultzy, baby. All right, I do have to go because I got to get my next guest on. You'll know him, Travis Thomas. So we got to get him on
time,
before his wife beats him up, man. All right, Rob Carlin, thanks for stopping by Overtime, man. I appreciate you.
All right, brother. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, we'll be back with my man, Travis Thomas. Trouble on turn two is what I call him sometimes. He's up next on Overtime. Oh, yeah. This is the perfect song for this next segment. I got my man, Travis Thomas. Reckless Trav. I got to give him credit, too, man. I've been doing this for over a year now, and it was Travis who first invited me to come here to 106.7 A Fan. That's because he's doing other things a lot, man. Hosting Redskins 100, DC Sports Live. Man, everything. And we've been on everything together as well, man. Some Wizards pre- and post-game coverage together. What's up, Travis?
Hey, man, I just want to say I didn't invite you. I feel like you were going to be kick-ass at this, and I was absolutely right. Your show's awesome. I catch you every time I can, and you're doing a great job. And first and foremost, how is Issa, man? I haven't talked to you. How's everything going? How's fatherhood?
Man, I'm going to tell you the craziest thing. We watched that show, The Messiah. Have you seen that on Netflix?
No, I've heard about it, though.
So they mentioned my daughter's name on the show, man. For those listening, I just had my first daughter. She's about 6 weeks old. Travis, it was cool, man, because her name means of God. And then we're watching the show, and they're talking about, like, you know, possible Messiah. And it's like, oh, they just said her name on the show. That's the kind of show you want your kid's name on. Now, it might be in the NFL for touchdowns, where you name your kids.
I have two touchdown makers. I have Colt and Cam. My daughter's name is Cameron, so I snuck both of those in past the wife.
Hey, you know, women are scoring touchdowns now too, man. They got the DC Divas. You got flag football. So
that's right.
One way or the other, you might come out on top on that one. So I wanted to bring you on because I got a crazy thought process of what the Redskins should do with that second pick, right?
Okay.
Now, everyone's like, it's a no-brainer, draft Chase Young. Don't you see what the Boses are doing? Don't you see what happens when you got the pass rush in the NFL? And I look at the Redskins, and you can tell me if I'm wrong about this, because my friend Lauren Sisler tiptoed around it. She covers Alabama for ESPN and has worked down there for years. She does sidelines for Alabama and Auburn. And I said, why not bring in an Alabama guy? I was like, what about Jerry Jeudy at two? And she goes, yeah, he doesn't have the same star power as Chase Young. She was very nice about it. But am I crazy to think that the Redskins' biggest need is to have some weapons for this young quarterback? So even if it's not at the number two overall pick, they have to add some sort of options for Dwayne Haskins, right? Or am I tripping?
Come on, man. My nickname's Reckless Trav, so of course you're not crazy. I think you're a little misguided. Look, I'm a huge college football fan. I follow the draft. I'm a nerd about this stuff. You can get Jeudy a little bit later than two, certainly top 10. I think you're a little misguided if you think Jeudy at two is the right spot. So what you would have to do, here's where you're not crazy. A team needs to fall in love with a quarterback, be it a Justin Herbert, be it a Tua Tagovailoa. A team needs to fall in love with one of these quarterbacks available. Maybe it's someone who has a crazy combine. We always see that happen. At that point, they're going to make a call. If that is a top 10 team that falls in love with a kid and they say, listen, we want to get our guy. The only way to do it is to make sure we're at two, right behind Cincinnati when Joe Burrow goes number one. We all know that's going to happen. So if that team's in the top 10, I think you make that trade and you go get Jeudy. Now, here's where I disagree with you. You're not crazy, but I disagree with you. Chase Young is a local kid, okay? That means a lot. When you think about this franchise, Miles, this team needs a shot in the arm. I think Dwayne Haskins was a good one in terms of drafting him. But, boy, could they use another one with a new coaching staff, obviously. Dan Snyder's trying to get back into good graces with this fan base. You bring a local kid in here. By the way, you pair him with an already decent defensive line. So you're setting him up for success. To me, it's a no-brainer, just like Joe Burrow to the Bengals. I think the Redskins are in a position where they almost have to take Chase Young, unless a top-10 team makes you an offer you can't refuse, and then you could still get Jeudy. Because you're right, that's a need for sure for this team.
Well, I was also looking at the fact that the Redskins don't have a second-round pick. I do think there'll be depth at receiver late first round, early second round. If they take Chase Young, which it seems like it seemed like all the Derek Jeter voters are there, 99.7% on Chase Young at two, is there someone on the defensive line that has to go then? Like, is there just too many guys, too much talent?
No, I don't think so. I think you're going to have to make a decision here shortly on Ryan Kerrigan with his contract situation and also his age, right? And we saw for the first time really in his career the production drop this year. Father time's undefeated, just ask Tom Brady, right? So, and Drew Brees as well. So to me, that's someone who's kind of phasing his way out. But to me, that's why you take a Chase Young as well, because he can still learn from a Ryan Kerrigan, who's a consummate pro. So I think the defensive line, and I'll tell you this too, when you look at that 49er team that's playing in the Super Bowl, they have depth at the defensive line position. So you know, it's almost one of those positions you can never have too many good ones. You should know that, too, with the Giants. So I just think he's the right fit unless someone makes you an offer you can't refuse, because for quarterbacks, as we know from this franchise, people go absolutely crazy and will give up the farm to move up to get the guy they're in love with. In terms of getting a receiver on the back end of the draft, you're absolutely right, or even later rounds, to me, and this is just me, this is maybe the greatest wide receiving core coming out of the draft we've seen collectively.
Whoa.
From top to bottom.
You mean like
so many?
Didn't Sammy Watkins and Odell Beckham, that was one class, right?
Yeah, but I will say that I'll say this about that class. That class was top heavy. This is the kind of draft that you will look back and you will say, what? So-and-so went in the fourth round? Are you kidding? So-and-so went in the fifth round? I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you what I know. College football right now is unbelievable with wide receivers. It is the best I've seen in many, many moons. And that draft you're talking about is really good, but it was top heavy. After those guys, there was kind of a drop-off. In this draft, it is deep. And the Skins, if nothing else, have proven in recent years they can draft really well. And McLaurin is an example of that. He was a fourth-round pick, and look what he did this season.
Yeah, I mean, he's an absolute stud. So it's one of those things where, look, maybe you and my friend Lawrence Sisler talk me off the edge. Maybe I was out here being like you, being reckless, maybe a little bit. And I think that maybe I just seen to Chase Young too much. You ever have that happen where I saw him when he was in high school, because I used to go to those games with Markel Fultz, right, and watch him play. And Chase Young was in a tank top at the game. And I'm like, why is this grown man walking over? Who is this grown man with dreads walking this way in this gym with high school kids? And he was like a junior. And I'm like,
wow.
What? That kid is a junior in high school? And like, yeah, he's thinking of going to Ohio State. I'm like, get out of here, man. Of course he is. Like, what else is going on? So I had another discussion with Rob Carlin, right? You'll like this one. So we know how great the Caps have been in this 10-15-year run as far as, like, the greatest in D.C. sports history. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
I have the Washington Bullets run from 1968 to 1985 as the greatest in D.C. sports history. 15 playoffs in 18 years, 4 trips to the finals, and 1 title.
Right. Well, I'm not going to argue with that per se, because I don't like getting in arguments for stuff I didn't see, right? So this happens constantly where the old-timers tell me, hey, man, you don't know anything about Wes Unseld, man. You don't know anything about Len Bias, young buck. You don't know anything about this guy, that guy. And you know what? I defer. I say, you're absolutely right, okay? So all I can go by is what I watch with thine eyes. And with thine eyes, this Capitals run, and let's just call it what it is, the Alex Ovechkin era, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, it's as simple as that. To me, they should have more than one cup. And I'll tell you this, they have a shot this year to win it. I actually think for my money, because, you know, I bet all this stuff, they are going to win it this year. And if Ovi gets 2 cups, that changes his legacy and probably ends your argument. But for right now, I'm really not going to argue that, just because I didn't watch those great championship teams. But, man, has this Caps run in the Ovi era been exciting to watch and cover.
Yeah, if they win another Stanley Cup, definitely ahead of those Bullets teams. But they also have to go to the Stanley Cup Finals multiple times. And so Rob Carlin and I think that it's about a 5-year run left for the Caps, which that seems realistic. And if they do that, you're talking about almost a 20-year run, right?
Yeah.
And
right.
Multiple trips to the Stanley Cup Finals and multiple championships.
Now, wait a minute. Let me throw the Gibbs Redskins in there.
Yeah, there you go. That's the sentence.
You win 3 Super Bowls with 3 different quarterbacks, by the way, at a time when that didn't really happen. If you think about it, Joe Gibbs was ahead of his time. Now you see that in the NFL with the turnover and free agency and trades and things of that nature. where you're getting a different quarterback, a different coordinator, a different this, a different that every season. At the time Gibbs was doing it, it just didn't happen, right? There were guys with teams forever, and he did it. So, you know, I would throw them in there as well.
How about this? When you look at their stats on the paper, as of now, oh, man, I think their 10-year run, it's definitely the best decade. 1982 to 1992, especially when you really factor in how hard it is to be consistent in the NFL, it's arguably one of the greatest runs in NFL history. Three Super Bowl wins, four appearances, another NFC Championship loss, so that's five trips to the NFC Championship game, eight playoffs in 11 years.
Let me ask you something, Miles. If you had to put money on it right now, and I'm changing the subject, who's in the NBA Finals? I'm dying to know your pick.
Oh, wow.
I'm taking Clipper. I think Giannis is going to go down. I'm taking Clippers Celtics. I didn't believe in the Celtics till I saw them destroy the Lakers last night. Now I believe. I think Brad Stevens is going to coach that team. He's going to will that team to the finals. They're going to get demolished. They're going to get demolished by the Clippers.
You're being reckless again. So here's a few factors you have to put into that equation about the Lakers, right? One, you always have to look at those West Coast teams coming all the way east and having a lull. And same thing with East Coast teams that are West. They always have like that game where you're like, what's wrong with this team? Because they're traveling across the country. Also, LeBron was completely distracted because some kid was throwing soda at his kid. And then he showed up to the game like, I don't even want to play it. And Jaylen Brown dunked on him. He's like, you know, I don't want any parts of this. Anthony Davis was just coming back. And anytime you bring someone back in the fold. Also for Boston, I've noticed, you know, Kemba Walker's there. I'm partial to them.
When they're
shooting like that, it's a wrap. And then when they have all four of their guys together, it's also a wrap. So, but they don't. That's the thing. They consistently miss one of Gordon Hayward, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, or Kemba Walker. Like, one of those guys are consistently out. And then when they're not shooting the ball well, like they have, the Golden State Warriors changed the way we look at shooting. Because, like you always said, a jump shooting team can never win a title. And then they won, and now everybody wants to shoot threes. It's like, yo, in the history of the NBA, that's the only team in NBA history that relied on three-pointers and won are the Golden State Warriors. Now everybody wants to do it, right?
It sounds like you're going Lakers Giannis to me.
Well, Anthony Davis, you know that's my man's in them. And then Giannis, you know I'm president of the fan club. I would want nothing more than to see the Milwaukee Bucks and the Los Angeles Lakers in the finals. And you know the greatest player of all time, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, with ties to both of those teams. It'd be a great moment for the NBA to honor him as well. I think it just has that feel, man. Everything about it is headed in that direction. But I look at it like we're in January, and teams have to trade. Like, someone's going to make a move. Not everyone's going to be stagnant like we've seen this season. And if the Celtics make the right move, I could see them coming out of the East and being the favorites. But they're the only team I believe in over Milwaukee.
Okay, son, who you got in the Super Bowl, son? Who you got in the Super Bowl, son?
I'm going Patrick Mahomes, man.
Ooh.
I did a whole spiel yesterday, my friend. Like, look, everyone wants to use the term generational talent. I had to hang up on a caller earlier because Patrick Mahomes looks the part. It looks like that torch from, like, Aaron Rodgers, what he always was, is given to Patrick Mahomes. Everybody feels that. But you got to win the Super Bowl. And I think facing the second-best defense, yo squad, the San Francisco 49ers, who were basura last year, just being able to if you can shred Richard Sherman, okay, and on this run, you got to look at it like this, right? Who'd they beat? They were down. They beat the Titans, who the week before shut down Lamar Jackson, right?
So
that counts for, like, yo, I'm way better than that dude you're comparing me to. Don't do it. And then Deshaun Watson, who? You see what I'm saying? Like, so my man is making – it seems like this run is about Patrick Mahomes building a legacy as, like, yo, when you go historically, I'm trying to be on that list of one of the greats.
He was a penalty away from beating Tom Brady, too, in the AFC title game last year. Lord knows he played his heart out, and he did everything he could do for the Chiefs to win that game, and they got a penalty late. And New England made it to the Super Bowl and ended up winning it. I'm going the 49ers just because in these spots, I'm telling you, defense always wins these games. Always. In a one-game neutral field, it is always defense. When it has never failed. I've been watching sports my whole life. I've been betting on them 15 years. And it seems like whenever the strength of offense against the strength of a defense of another team, the defense 10 out of 10 times wins. I'm not going to turn my back on that now. I think it'll be a great game. I will caution you with this. You mentioned the Titans and the Chiefs. I will say this. The Chiefs had the perfect game plan. Come in, shut down Derrick Henry, easier said than done. But they did that, and they dared Ryan Tannehill to beat them. I believe that will be the same game plan here as it should be, right? Come in, shut down that vaunted Niners run game, make Garoppolo beat you. The difference is Garoppolo, despite only throwing 8 passes in the NFC title game, right? He is good enough. He is good enough to beat you. He can make the plays Tannehill could not. That will be the difference.
Yeah, we can ask the Saints about that. Who that, right?
Right.
All right.
Right.
Travis, you know the problem with tonight's show? You were not reckless enough. Next time I invite you on Overtime, I need reckless Trav, man.
Well, you saw me hijack it and start asking you questions because I knew we were going down the reckless path.
All right, man. You know how these things work. I got to take a break. Thank you for stopping by, man.
All right, Pimpin', man. You keep doing your thing. I heard you last night, too, talking generational talent. Sounded like you were saying LeBron more than Mahomes.
That's what, well, because we know LeBron is an absolute generation. Like at 11, he was a generational talent. And at 35, he's a generational talent. Like,
no doubt.
Yeah, we know what the deal is. So hopefully Patrick Mahomes is that too, man. I love watching him play. All right, Travis,
all right,
you're generational talent too, man. And being reckless.
All right, man.
Oh, Travis Thomas from NBC Sports Washington. You can see him as host of Redskins 100 and a host of other shows. All right, we have to take a break. We'll be back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.